All right, so I want to take up a question of on Purim. All right. Question about the machlokas in the beginning of Maseches Megillah about the walled cities. Right, the walled cities read on the 15th, and the non-walled cities read on the 14th. And there's a machlokas about which walled cities do we mean? Do we mean our Tana says the cities that were walled at the time of Yoshua ben Nun? But there's another shita that says it goes by the cities that were walled, that had walls from the days of Achashverosh. And the question is, we want to see if we can get a deeper understanding of the issue. So really, the truth of the matter is that the more basic question that we need to ask. And the Ran in the back of the Gemara raises the question. He says, "Yesh kan shela." There's a question here in this mitzvah. Maro anche kinesis hagadola lachlok mitzvah zu liyomim chalukim v'lekvoa yom yuchad leprozim v'yom yuchad lekrochim. He says, there's something unusual in this mitzvah. Why? What did the anche kinesis hagadola see to split this mitzvah up and to have a difference in the way it's celebrated between people who live in a walled city and people who live in an unwalled city? He says, Sharei HaTorah Omra, Torah Achas U'Mishpat Echad. Says the Torah says there's a certain value in Torah, there's a certain idea in Torah that we have one mitzvah, right? Torah Achas U'Mishpat Echad. It should be one set of laws. It should be one set of laws for everybody. That's a certain ideal. That's a certain value of unity, right? Achdus shouldn't have, we don't say there's one set of laws. We don't say there's one set of laws for some people, another set of laws for other people. Okay, why do you have over here in this mitzvah, it's different for different people. Okay, so somebody's already going to thinking that I'm wrong, right? We do have mitzvahs for different people, right? I mean, you have a kohanim, have a different set of mitzvahs, right? Men, women. So what do we mean over here?
Is that those are different people? Then?
Different people. Okay, good.
So this is all the same people. It just depends on geographically where they're located.
That's true. That's true too. So you have mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. Right? But what he means is, yeah, Johnny?
That the mitzvah, with God, we have the mitzvah exists for God and the mitzvah here, exists for both groups of people in different ways.
Right, that's the unusual thing, right? The unusual thing is, okay, we understand that there's an idea, there's a Beis HaMikdash, right, and it demands that there are people who do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and there are shvatim. And we can understand that the Shevet of Levi, and in particular the Kohanim, they're the best choice to do the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, because of their association to Aaron. People will respect them, right? Can't leave it open to some sort of a ballot system. It makes sense that we have to have a group designated to take care of the avodah in the Mikdash. But that's one. That's the mitzvah, and they're the only ones who have the mitzvah. But where do you ever see, in the same mitzvah, right? It's done differently between different groups. That's a very unusual. You don't have that. You don't have. On the contrary, that's sort of like making a division. It's making a division in the way you do the mitzvah itself. I understand the Kohen has his separate mitzvahs for Kohanim. That has to do with the avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. But here we all have Purim. So why is it there's one way for some people to celebrate Purim and another way for other people to celebrate Purim? That's contrary to Mishpat Echad, Torah Achas to Mishpat Echad, right? It's a very good question. It's the Ran's question. It's instituted, already creating a division. I mean, we're not supposed to have like two minhagim in one city. You know, we don't have things like that. So listen to his answer. He says like this. Yesh lomar shemipnei shayehudim hayoshrim ba'ori haprozos vayehudim asher b'shushan lo nochu me'oiveyam b'yom echad. So he says, historically speaking, right, when you read the Megillah, you see that the Jews who lived in the open cities, right, the Jews who lived in the open cities, and the Jews who lived in Shushan didn't rest on the same day. Right? They didn't rest on the same day. Because the Jews in the Prazim, the unwalled cities, they rested on the 14th, right? And the Yehudim Asher B'Shushan Nachu B'Chamish Asar. So each one rested on a different day. Because the Jews in Shushan, why did they rest a day later? Because they had an extra day that was Esther requested, an extra day to take out some more enemies in Shushan. V'asumei aleihem kol echad b'yom menuchaso mishteh v'simcha. And each one, when they rested, each group on their own, when they rested, made their own simcha. Okay, it was no mitzvah, right? They just were victorious in their battles, and when they were finished, they celebrated. So historically speaking, the Jews in Shushan made their party on the 15th, and all the other Jews made their party on the 14th. This says right. V'lefikach kishekovu aleihem yom tov ledoros. So now, when Anshei Knesset HaGedolah decided to institute the yom tov for the future generations, kavu l'chol echad b'yom shenoch bo. So they made each one on the day that they rested. They continued the practice that was started by the Jews themselves. So some Jews rested on the 14th and made their party on the 14th. Some, and in Shushan they stopped on the 15th. So Anshei Knesset HaGedolah said, you know what? Let's continue the way it was. Continue the way it was. But hold on, it's not so simple, right? The Hishru kol akrocham hamukafin choma l'Shushan. So obviously, only Shushan, he said, really rested, made their party on the 15th. So what did they do? They said, you know what? Let's equate all of the cities that have walls with Shushan. Okay, so it's already starting to get a little messy, right? Started that very simple, just do what they did. But it's not really just do what they did, right? Because in terms of what they did, really, only Shushan had their party on the 15th. So now he's saying, okay, we sort of do what they did, and we're going to extend the Shushan practice to every city that had a wall. Okay? Shehi Mukefas Choma, because Shushan had a wall. So why did they decide to do this? Mipnei Shebo Hoya Iker Hanes. So he says, because in Shushan was the Iker Hanes. The Iker Hanes occurred in Shushan. So what's his answer, really? So what's his answer? What's his answer? So his answer is, anybody have any suggestions of you? How is he getting out of the problem? And so I think I think what the Ron is trying to explain is like this. He's saying that it's not a problem of mishpadech, Torah achas and mishpadech. It's not a problem of creating divisions. Okay? There's an idea over here that we want to replicate what was happening. We want to replicate it. So really, in fact, how did it occur? How did the original event occur? It really occurred it occurred one way in the open cities, and it occurred another way in Shushan. And the occurrence in Shushan, he says, was something that we wanted to remember. The differentiation, the fact that Shushan was different, is not just an accidental feature of Shushan, but he says that's really the Iker Hanes was in Shushan. So in order to keep the in order to demonstrate a certain idea about the Ikar HaNes, so they wanted to continue the practice of Shushan being a day later. Okay? And they decided to make all the cities that have walls like Shushan. But still, the question is, why didn't they just... So first of all, let's stop for a minute. Let's stop for 1 minute. What does it mean that the Ikar HaNes was in Shushan? What does that mean, the Ikar HaNes was in Shushan? What was different? What does it mean that the main Nes was in Shushan? So I think it means it's in two ways the Ikar HaNes was in Shushan. Any of you have a suggestion? I mean, the obvious side is that what? That's really where the action, the strings were pulled, so to speak. That was, it's true over the whole realm, Achashverosh's whole kingdom. There was the Nafohu, there was the inversion from the decree of death to the victory of annihilating the enemies. But we want to also reflect how it came to be. Right? It came about through the fact that Esther was able to use her chachma in the seat of power in Shushan, that's the seat of power. And really it wasn't really a military victory. Military victory is you have an army, the Jews have an army, the other nation has an army, and they hit the battlefield and the stronger one and one wins and one loses. So it's true there was a military aspect. There was a battle, there was fighting, there were people that were killed. But it wasn't a military victory. The victory came through Esther and Mordechai's ability to understand the nature of Achashverosh and the nature of Haman and how to be mispalel, and then they fasted for 3 days, and to use her tremendous chachma in setting up the whole situation to make Achashverosh suspicious of Haman and invite him to the party and invite him back, and the whole mice over, the whole story over there. And that's really where the victory was won. Right, that's really where the victory went. Without that, they wouldn't have been able to stand up to the enemies in all the rest of the land. So it had to be highlighted. Shushan had to be highlighted because what's the whole mitzvah of Purim to begin with? Our whole celebration is really Pirsum HaNes, right? That's the whole point of Purim. And the Megillah, everything is Pirsum HaNes. So it's not just the stam to have a party. It's that we should, through the doing of the mitzvos of Purim, we should be able to, we should give shevach to Hashem for the nes of Purim. And therefore really it's not a problem of creating a division. Creating a division would mean There's one set of laws, there's one way to have Purim for you, and another way to have Purim for you. But the truth of the matter is, the Ran is really explaining that by having the Purim celebration in two parts, it really completes everybody's idea of Purim. You understand? The fact that we, living here in an unwalled city, right, the fact that we know that there are Jews who are celebrating on Tesvav itself brings to mind that the Nes occurred essentially through Mordechai and Esther's knowledge and their intelligence and their ability to deal with the situation and deal with it wisely. So really, you could say that it's really the 2 days complete the celebration of Purim for everybody. That's why they wanted to continue the two-part celebration. It's not that their Tesvav has nothing to do with our Yud Daled. On the contrary, altogether it shows that it serves as a limud for how the original Nes really took place. It wasn't just a mob of angry Jews overpowering the local population. It was from the very power center that the underlying moves were made. And the truth of the matter is, and there's another element to Shushan, and that is they had an extra day. And the extra day, I think it only killed 500 people in the extra day. But what was the extra day really? They really, apparently, the first day they were able to destroy the overt enemies. But in a city like Shushan, they're very powerful people, and the extra day really was to really rout out even the more discreet ones, but really go through the power center and make a clean house, so to speak, of all the anti-Semites in the centers of power. Yeah, Jeremy.
So what's the reasoning exactly
that all right, so someone says, why not have everything on Tesvav? Okay. The simple answer is that you had to reflect that there was a difference, that there were two places and two types of Nisim that occurred. That there was this different, without the differentiation, it wouldn't bring to mind the two separate parts of the nace, the actual fighting and the actual defeat of the enemy. That couldn't happen in Shushan, but the underlying source of it was through Shushan. But I have more to say about that. Yeah, Yitzi?
Wouldn't it make sense?
Okay, another question is, why doesn't everyone do 2 days? Also a very good question. Okay, so let's go a little bit further. So then he says that makes sense. According to this explanation makes sense for the side that says it goes by the walled cities from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. I mean from Achashverosh. But let me ask you another question. Why, according to this, I mean it was Shushan. It all happened in Shushan. So why not? And as a matter of fact, even the side that says that it goes from Yeshua ben Nun, I believe also holds in Shushan. It's always Tesvav. But why, if that's really what happened? Really, what happened was the Jews everywhere else celebrated on Yud Dalet, and the Jews in Shushan alone celebrated on Tesvav, and that's what we want to continue. So it should just be that if you're in Shushan, you do it on Tesvav, and everywhere else you do it on Yud Dalet. Why isn't that a position? That's not even a position. Right? You can argue about if it's from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. I mean, what are the walled cities? The walled cities have nothing to do with anything. I mean, we're really trying to reflect, we're trying to say it happened in Shushan, so they should redo it in Shushan. So why is it not just a mitzvah in Shushan? Okay, so maybe that's obvious to everybody. Right? What do you say? Because we don't have a kedusha. There's no such thing as like a kedushas Shushan, right? We're not saying that the land that the city of Shushan, to make the mitzvah on Shushan alone, that would like be differentiating this city as a special place. It would have like a mitzvahs. You'd have three things: you'd have chutz laretz, mitzvahs ataluyas baretz, and mitzvahs ataluyas b'Shushan. Shushan is not a holy place, right? We can't turn it into a place for a pilgrimage, and ideally that's not what we're trying to accomplish over here. We're really only trying to reflect a certain concept. See, we're not really saying that we're continuing the practice of the Shushan, of the people of Shushan. It's not a special mitzvah for people in Shushan. It's really a mitzvah it's a universal idea that we should reflect in the celebration of the Chag, in the celebration of Purim, we should reflect an idea of Shushan. We should have an expression of the concept of Shushan, of the idea of the nascent Shushan. So that's what the Ran explains. He says like this. The b'mukafin chom miyamos achashverosh tol yamilso. Yeah. So he's like v'hushvu v'hishvu kol akrochem ha'mukafin chom l'shushan. They equated all the cities that have walls to Shushan. Why? Shehi mukefes choma, because Shushan had a wall. So what does that mean? It's a very interesting idea. It's really an interesting idea in terms of halacha in general, right? In halacha in general, he's trying to show you how does halacha work. It's not that we're fixated on the particular of Shushan. It happens in Shushan, and that's why it has to continue in Shushan. There's a certain idea of what happened in Shushan that the halacha wants to incorporate into the wider practice of Klal Yisrael. I mean, Klal Yisrael is really has a much wider yeshiv than one town in Persia. It doesn't make sense to make that special din over there. So what they do is they say like this. We want to reflect in the general practice of Jews all over the world. We want it to be reflected in their in the celebration of Purim, an idea of the Nes of Shushan, the concept of what happened in Shushan. So what do we have to do? All we have to do is find an element in Shushan that we can equate other cities with. You understand? Just find a feature, just find some feature that we can say, Shushan had a wall, so now in order to incorporate the practice of Shushan into the general practice of Jews all over the world, halachically we'll say like this. In the practice of Purim, there should be cities that are like Shushan and cities that are not like Shushan. So how do you make other cities like Shushan? We'll just take a feature of Shushan and we'll incorporate that into the halacha itself. So now we know walled cities reflect the concept of Shushan. You understand? It's not an idea that we're really recreating what happened in Shushan. We're not. But in the celebration of the holiday, in the celebration of Purim, we want to reflect what occurred there. So we sort of build in a model of Shushan into the halachic system. The halacha now will have two models. There's the non-Shushan model and the Shushan model. But how do we model? How do we make a connection? We'll take a feature of Shushan. Feature of Shushan is it had walls. So now we incorporate that. So now we can have, throughout the practice of Jews everywhere, a reflection of the two parts of the Nes. The actual first day when the major victory was won, and a reflection that Shushan, that there was a certain place, Shushan was the place where the victory really was born. Yeah. The thing is, we don't reenact. It's not like we want to imitate an action. The actions are important because they're a source of ideas. They're a source of reflection. It's the way we can bring certain concepts to mind in a very powerful way. But it's not that we're not doing it because they did it. We're doing it as a piercing of the Nes. So there's nothing special really about it. It's not a matter of Shushan is only special in terms of the fact that it reflects how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Nes, how the Nisim of Purim were devolved. But that's an idea that is necessary for everywhere. If Jews didn't live in Shushan, then nobody would have that recollection, wouldn't exist in Klal Yisrael at all. That can't be. Must be incorporated into the practice. And that's what he says. That's why it's the walled cities in the time of Shushan. That's why he says it makes sense, because they really do reflect, they actually shared an element with Shushan. And it was Kavua. At that time, they had to make the mitzvah, and the mitzvah doesn't change. So that's what everybody agrees. It doesn't matter. If you hold us those cities that have walls from Shushan, from the time of Ahasuerus, it doesn't matter what they have nowadays. The mitzvah is given in one form, and it doesn't change. You don't have cities now that if you build a wall around the city now, it won't change. Because that certainly, we don't say that the mitzvah changes in its... it was implemented, and it was chal on each one of these cities according to their nature. And he says, oh, that's why it makes sense, that at the time when they made it, they wanted to, in the deepest way, to reflect the connection between Shushan and the other cities. They took the cities that actually were like Shushan in time and in form. But once it's given, it's given. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's his idea for the side that says you go from Shushan, from the time of Ahasuerus. But what's the idea to say from Yoshua ben Nun? That's his question. Very interesting question. So he says that explains the side of Achashverosh. But what's the side from Yeshua ben Nun? So he says like this. He says it's based on the Yerushalmi. It's basically the Yerushalmi says, why did they choose it from the time of Yeshua ben Nun? In order to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael. Because in the time, historically speaking, in the time of Achashverosh, Eretz Yisrael the cities were destroyed. It was in the time of the Churban. So Yerushalayim itself would not have even counted as a walled city. So he says, they wanted to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael. Perisha inyan, shekevan shehutzruchu lachlok bein mukafin l'she'ein mukafin. Once they decided that we have to incorporate the idea of Shushan into the universal practice of Jews everywhere, right? So we must make a differentiation based on walls and non-walls, because that's the dominant feature. Truth of the matter is, the walled city is not an arbitrary, the wall of a city is not just an arbitrary feature. It's a type of city, right? It's like a metropolis. It's like a strong city. It's not just a, you know, cow, you know, one horse town. It's actually a feature of the city. It's not just something around the city. It's part of what type of a city it is. So they had to make this differentiation. But if they would have made it from Achashverosh, then Eretz Yisrael would have been, the whole Eretz Yisrael would have been like an unwalled city. Because there were no more Mukaf and Choma in that time. So therefore they backed it up. They backed it up to the time of Yeshua ben Nun. They backed it up and said, let's make it, since we have to pick the feature of a walled city, but we don't have to say when it was walled. That's arbitrary. When did it have the wall? Your question, from when? So he says, they decided that if they would have made it from the time of Achashverosh, it would have been like a Bizayon to Eretz Yisrael. So they decided to make it from the time of Yeshua ben Nun? Okay. The cave on, okay. Ki'ilu yesh bo choma. Right, because it doesn't matter what it had at the time. Once it had it at the time of Yeshua ben Nun, it doesn't matter anymore if it lost it. So what's the idea over there? What's the idea of saying, of backing it up to the time of Yeshua ben Nun? What's that concept? See, it's interesting. He seems to hold, and this is a machlokas. I mean, it's hard to define as machlokas, but he seems to say that the side that says that Achashverosh, that's just simply the closest connection, the fullest way to transplant the idea of Shushan into the general practice of Jews worldwide is to take the feature of the time. The feature of every city at this time that's like Shushan is like will be the vehicle of reflecting the Nes Shushan. But the other side held that since the two practices together, this is the key part, the two practices together really reflect the full expression of the Nes. Because neither one reflects it fully. The first one reflects the actual defeat of the enemy, and the second one reflects the source. So both of them have to be incorporated. Since Eretz Yisrael is really the home of the Jews, that's really where the mitzvos are supposed to be kept, b'shleimusa. That's where the full system of Torah is really is kept. In the dual aspect of the Nes, they felt it had to be that in Eretz Yisrael, the land of the Jews itself, the full Nes should definitely be reflected to. It shouldn't be that only in conjunction with Chutz La'aretz, in conjunction with certain cities in Chutz La'aretz, that the full mitzvah, the full piersum hanes of Klal Yisrael should be completed. Should be that Eretz Yisrael should be able to stand on its own and reflect the nes in total. So that's how he's defining the machlokas. So in terms of reflecting Shushan per se, it's really best reflected from cities of that time. But in terms of having the idea, a different idea, that Eretz Yisrael should reflect the full and complete system of mitzvos, they held it's better to sacrifice, that's the machlokas, it's better to sacrifice some of the connection with Shushan. And since it's arbitrary to begin with, right, we just really want to reflect Shushan, we just want to incorporate the idea of Shushan into the practice, it's better to have it incorporated into, it's better to pick walls from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. So that at least in Eretz Yisrael shouldn't be considered like deficient in its expression of the mitzvah of Purim. Yeah?
So if you celebrate Purim on Yudalit, it's considered deficient?
No. But since the celebration of Purim includes Yudalit and Tesvav, because they're two different ideas, there's the idea of the Ikar Anes of Tesvav, so then if you had Jews all in Eretz Yisrael, right, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, from the practice of Eretz Yisrael alone, you wouldn't be able to get both ideas of the Pirsum. You understand? And in Eretz Yisrael would be somewhat inferior to Chutz La'aretz, because in Chutz La'aretz you have cities that, you have walled cities and non-walled cities. So you can have a complete reflection of the Nes in Chutz La'aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael on its own, you would never have the full reflection of the Nes. That's not right. Eretz Yisrael should be the land of the Jews and the land of the mitzvos, and it's not right that it shouldn't be able to have both elements of the Nes within Eretz Yisrael itself. You understand what I mean? Because it's Mishpat Echad, it is one Mishpat, in the sense that the Jews all together, in their practice together, each acknowledge the other. You understand? They each acknowledge that what the other's doing is reflecting part of the complete picture of the Nes of Purim. There are two elements, and they really together join to form the full picture. That full picture should be able to come about through Eretz Yisrael alone. Okay? But I'd like to ask one more question. I'd like to raise one more point. Getting back to Yehuda's question a little bit. Question is like this. What really was the Nes? What was really the Nes of Purim? It was the military. It was the defeat of the enemy, right? That's really what the Nes was. So when did that occur? When did that occur, really? It really occurred on the 13th and the 14th. They each made their parties on the day after. You understand? They each made the parties the day after the victory. So why don't we celebrate the 13th and the 14th if we really want to reflect the Nes itself? As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that there's no reason to, you don't need an extra lima to learn that you can push Purim up to the 13th, because that's definitely, that was the day of the that's when the Nes actually occurred. So it's a funny thing, we don't really celebrate the day the Nes occurred. We celebrate from the Simcha the day after. Well, why isn't it on the day of the actual victory? So that's what the Ron is trying to intimate in the beginning. It says we copy what they did. They made their party on the day after. We make our party on the day after. But why? Why? I mean, they were autonomous. They were grown ups. They were able. They didn't have to copy. They could institute a mitzvah, right? So there's a very special element to Purim. There's another very special element to Purim. And that is what? The Gemara says that about Purim, Kimu v'kiblu. Right? Kimu v'kiblu. You know that? So what does that mean? Different interpretations. But the Gemara Shav says it means Kimu mashe kiblu kvar. Right? That they were b'kayim now in Purim with Ava what they accepted before. What does that mean? You know what that's referring to?
Sinai.
At Sinai, the Jews were, they accepted the Torah. That they accepted the Torah. Somewhat by force, right? Medrash says it was like a overturned barrel hanging over their heads. So, it was like an offer they couldn't refuse. But so they accepted it. They accepted it. But Kimu at the time of Purim. Why? Why? What was so special about Purim? See, at Har Sinai, they were faced with the reality of Hashem. I mean, there was just an overwhelming reality that they see the revelation and Moshe and the Har, Bor Ba'esh. They have no choice. In a certain sense, they have no choice. You can't look at reality in the face and deny it. I mean, So they had to accept the Torah as a system of mitzvahs. But they didn't fully understand how the Torah really is. They didn't really appreciate the Torah at that point. They had to accept it because you see the event of Sinai, and Moshe relates to you the Torah and the mitzvahs. Well, you have no choice but to accept it. But really, what happened in Purim? What happened at Purim? Purim was really a tremendous limud to Klal Yisrael. Because at the time of Purim, Purim has really interesting characters. And the story is, just as a story, it's a really interesting characters. You have Achashverosh, you have Haman, Mordechai, and Esther. And in truth, each one, if you analyze the story, Achashverosh and Haman and Mordechai and Esther, they represent different ways of life. They really represent the different philosophies, right? And there was no overt miracle, no obvious divine intervention over here. What the people saw was really, they saw playing out in real life the different ways of life and how they lead. Ma ro'u akocho mohigia leham, the Megillah says. What did each one see and what happened to them? They really saw how living the life of Haman, what it's motivated by, ego, and how ultimately it leads to destruction, and how the ones who seemed so powerful based on the fantasies of everybody of glory and fame and power, when in truth it was really that didn't last. That really nafochu. That was a vision. It seemed right. It seemed like he had everything going for him. And in one second, it was all gone. Based on what? The intelligence and the way of life of Mordechai and Esther really showed that they had a life of true value. And in the end, when they come and they play out naturally together, you see that you see really which is the true, which is really the good life, which is really the life of value and the life of pleasure and in the true sense. And that's what he says. It says Rabu. It says even many of the people were converted at that time. They saw the power of a little Mordechai, just a seems like a poor, insignificant person. But they see how that really is the true value. That really is the true source of strength. So the party itself is really a part of the Pirsum. You really want to reflect that they started something at that time. Their party was not just a military party. It was really an embracing, a renewal, an embracing of these ideas of the Kimu Vekiblu. So we want to imitate that. We do want to imitate that. We want to reflect that. We want to reflect not only the whole victory over the enemies and the nace of the extra ikar nace of Shushan, but we also want to reflect the impact it had on the people. It had an impact that they spontaneously celebrated. So we must incorporate that as well. So therefore, our celebration is on the 14th and the 15th. When the people who lived through this saw for themselves and really spontaneously celebrated. And that's why, when you think about the elements of Purim, that's what I'm trying to say over here. The Iker is really a Pirsum. And we try to incorporate all the elements of that event, the fact that it happened in two stages, the fact that there was a spontaneous celebration, and that we try to put all of those elements into the mitzvah to bring out each concept. But and I think that's the main idea that the Ron is trying to get to. I mean, in my opinion, that's the idea of the drinking ad lo yoda. Because it's always a troubling question. Why should we ever try to achieve not knowing? I mean, that's our whole philosophy is knowing, right? And now you want to say, your knowing was good all year long, but now we want to get to the higher level of not knowing. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, what kind of a thing is that? So, all right, so obviously not knowing doesn't mean dead drunk, like the Rambam says. It means you go to sleep, you're tired enough that you fall asleep. So, but still, it does seem like there's some idea of being in the state of not knowing. What kind of an idea is that? So I think that that's part of the piercing. It reflects, since we're trying to reflect their simcha and their party, we want to show that they had, sometimes you have a military victory and you win the battle, but you have to keep on guard. You have to keep on guard, right? You celebrate when you won the battle, but you still have to keep on guard. But we want to show that what was the celebration in the time of Mordechai? What type of a victory was it? It was a total reversal. They weren't worried anymore. They didn't feel like they got one battle, but they have to keep their guard up. There was such a change the whole society had turned over, and there was a complete shift in ideology and a shift in the way of people thought about things. They were able to have such a simcha that they weren't concerned anymore with protecting themselves. The ad lo yoda, that type, you can only celebrate to that degree that you don't worry anymore, that you don't need to be on guard, you don't need to stay sharp. You can only celebrate that to that degree when the victory is complete and absolute. So we want to show in our Sudas Purim, we want to reflect again the degree of the nace. It wasn't just a temporary stopgap that they didn't get destroyed. It wasn't just they didn't get destroyed. On the contrary, it was a total reversal. A total reversal to the degree that they could completely let their guard down and drink and enjoy and go to sleep. And not be worried that the enemies are at the gates. So every element of the Purim is trying to, Anshei Knesset Dor try to build in through all the elements, to bring out the ideas of the nace. Okay. Any questions? Yeah, Johnny?
Go back to